Welcome to Harmony Primitive Baptist Church. This is Elder Freddie Bowen preaching at our 2012 fall meeting.
I'm concerned, and if you knew what I was concerned about, you'd be more concerned. There's a deacon in this congregation. He's not a member of this church. Informed me that at their church, when the ice is gone, it's time to quit. At that particular service, when I walked into the pulpit, the ice was gone. I preached anyway. Brother Harold, we may be here a long time because there's a lot of ice in this glass over here. I got some disturbing news this afternoon. I've been preaching longer than Bryce Lawrence is old. Boy, if that ain't a kick in the britches. Do ask you to pray for me, and Father, may this be to thy glory. I want to talk to you about something this evening, the Lord willing, but I want to set it up biblically to start with. I want to turn to the book of Ephesians chapter 5. Let me say a word of admonition to you, to my preached brethren. When you give a text of what you're going to talk about, give the book first.
Amen.
Chapter second.
Right.
And then the verse.
Amen.
If you give the verse, then the book, then the chapter, then the book, then they got to reverse it and go back, and they done forgot what it was anyway.
That's right.
So give the book, the chapter, then the verse. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5 and the 19th verse, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now, I'm not going to deal with that as a subject, but I do want to introduce a few thoughts about it. A song should say something to our hearts. It should say something about what we believe, about our experiences, and about what we hope for. It should be, the songs we sing should be in agreement with our basic doctrines. Secondly, singing should be from the heart. Can I tell you that I believe that's what God accepts? A heartfelt worship, praise, service. And thirdly, we're singing to an audience of one. Don't worry about the person sitting next to you. Don't worry about the person hearing you sitting next to you. Sing as if you were singing alone to the Lord of glory. Now in Colossians, Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Do you think Paul wrote the same thing to the Ephesians that he wrote to the Colossians? I think he did. Singing should teach us something about God. I was at a church, I won't tell you where, but a number of years ago. There was a sister in that church. She was quite elderly, wasn't able to be there that day, and they was videotaping it. And halfway through the song service, the pastor got up and called attention to the fact that it was her birthday, so he had everybody to turn around, face the camera, and sing happy birthday to her in the middle of the worship service. I'm sorry, brethren, that's not the place for it. Singing should touch our experiences in life. Singing should admonish us. That means to reprove firmly, but not too harshly. It should encourage us to embrace a change for the better.
Amen.
It is to remind us that our service is to God. Psalms 100 and verse 2 says, "Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing." When you come into this place, do you come in with a smile on your face? Are you happy to be here? You ought to let somebody know that you're happy to be here. And you ought to be happy to see that they're here. Psalms 95 and 2. "Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms." Some time ago at Mount Perrin Church, I became very convicted about the fact that we often ask the Lord to bless the preaching service, and we should. Why don't we ask Him to bless the song service? Don't you think we need the same grace to sing as a man does to preach, as a man does to hear? Singing is worship. But it's not the sum total of our worship. I've been in a few cases where when the song service was over, I saw one brother one time, that was the end of the service for him. That was his worship. Song service tunes our hearts, liberates our minds, raises our drooping spirits, brightens our hope, gives us something to look forward to. It puts us in a frame of mind to receive the message of the gospel. We need to be careful about the songs we sing. My father taught me this many years ago about right before preaching and right after preaching. For an example, last night when the brethren got through, it would have been wrong for us to stood and sang, "Poor, weak, and worthless though I am." It would have been wrong for us to have sung it. Now, there's nothing wrong with the song. It would have been wrong for us to have sang "Hungry, Faint, and Poor." We ought to have been singing "Blessed Assurance."
Yes.
"Amazing Grace." Something of that nature. Now then, there's a song that's been eating my lunch. Supper and, you can call it dinner film too, it's supper. And breakfast since I heard it. I heard it last Saturday, Elder Rada. If you want to follow along with me, it's in the good old songs. It's number 469. Lord, give us grace. I can't even remember the tune it was sung to. I've only heard it one time. But I don't think I've ever had one song to touch me like this one has. So if I can, I want to talk about this song. I had a preacher out in Texas many years ago. He said, "Yeah, I'd do that. If I can't think of a text, I'll take a song and talk about it." That's why I set it up biblically to start with. Singing should inspire our hearts. It should encourage us. It should lift our drooping spirits. Now listen to what this... Now, obviously, I'm not going to have time to look at all eight verses. And I don't know how many we'll look at, but we'll see how far the Lord might lead us. Let's notice this song. "The cross of Christ inspires my heart." What motivates you to come to the house of God? What's your motivation? To see how everybody else dresses? To see if everybody else is, or who's there, or to see who's not there? If we are not motivated by the cross of Christ, what motivation will do us any good? What can we say to motivate people to worship the God of glory. The cross of Christ inspires my heart. Can I tell you this, my beloved friends? That until you in your own mind and heart and experience by faith to go take a trip to the cross of Christ and die to yourself, you'll never get to resurrection ground. Last third Saturday morning in Boiling Springs Church in Georgia, we got to resurrection ground on Saturday morning. I saw primitive Baptists holding up their hands. I heard shouts that I hadn't heard in years. Because the Spirit of God descended on that congregation that morning. The cross of Christ inspires my heart to sing redeeming grace. Have you been redeemed? Well, I don't know. You better start checking your experiences with the Word of God. I believe there's a text over in the book of Psalms that says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so."
Amen.
If you've been redeemed, you ought to say so.
Amen.
Well, how do I say so? I'm not good at talking. I'll tell you a good way to start. And if you want to do it right now, I'll quit. Be baptized. Because in baptism, you are publicly stating a belief in the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that He died for you. We're going to get to the cherry on the cake in just a moment. The cross of Christ inspires my heart to sing redeeming grace. Awake, my soul! Anybody asleep? I hope not. I hope the Spirit of God will wake you. I hope He'll wake our drooping hearts. I thought about it last night when Brother Loran said what was talking about what's wrong with this country. It's not because of the enemy. It's because of the slackness and complacency of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been asleep too long.
Amen, brother.
We're worrying about too much what other folks might think. We better be worrying about what the Lord thinks. Awake my soul. Now listen to this. And bear a part in my Redeemer's praise. The Apostle Peter, upon one occasion, when the Lord came to him with a pan and a towel, and he said, "Lord, thou shalt never wash my feet." And Jesus said, "If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me." Do you want a part with Christ this afternoon? Would you like to have a part with Him? Would you like to feel His presence? Would you like to know that He's here? Awake my soul and bear a part in my Redeemer's praise. What does a Redeemer do? Well, he tries to redeem. Oh, you don't like that, huh? That's right, he does it. A Redeemer redeems. And Jesus Christ is the only one I know of that has the power to redeem a lost soul from hell to heaven.
Amen.
The cross of Christ inspires my heart to sing redeeming grace. Awake my soul and bear a part in my Redeemer's praise. Listen to the next question. Oh, what can be compared to Him? Isaiah said, "To whom will you liken me? I am God and there is none else." God sits in the solitude of Himself. My belief doesn't make Him any more God, and our unbelief doesn't make Him any less God. He is God, and He's holy, and He's just, and He's right in everything that He does.
Amen.
Saw a bumper sticker years ago that said, "The Lord said it, I believe it, and that settles it." I thought that's pretty good, until I got to thinking about it. I like this one better. "The Lord said it, and that settles it." It's better if I believe it. It's for my benefit that I believe it. It's for my joy that I believe it. But when my Lord said it, that settles it. You see, when Jesus told His disciples to get into a ship, He said, "We're going to the other side." Did He know there's a storm coming? I think He did. Didn't make any difference. Jesus said, "We're going." Was there any doubt they wasn't going to get there? No, they're going to get there because Jesus said, "We're going." Well, what can be compared to Him who died upon the tree? "This is my dear, delightful theme." You ready for it? "That Jesus died for me." I hope to make this as personal as I possibly can. So let me put it like this. If you were the only one that Jesus died for, He would have had to have gone through the same thing that He did when He died for an innumerable company of people. Because it would take that to redeem our sorry, worthless, depraved, undone souls. What was there in you that would cause God to love you? Not a thing in this world. But if He loves you, my friends, He loves you out of His everlasting covenant. He loves you out of the depths of His heart. And He loves you with an everlasting love. "For I have loved them with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn you." Has the Lord been good to you? How good has He been? Little? A little more? Or did He spread His arms and die because He loved you? Brethren, I can't fathom that love. I don't know what that kind of love is. But I'm thankful my Lord had it. "This is my delightful theme, my dear delightful theme, that Jesus died for me." When at the table of the Lord, we humbly take our place. My beloved friends, I am a firm believer that our communion services, our partaking of the bread and wine at the Lord's Supper, should be done in quietness, in solemnity, and in great humility. I favor two communions a year. And the reason that I favor two a year is for this reason. By the way, it's biblical, because they did it back in the law service. That if a member cannot make it at one because of illness or other circumstances beyond their control, then they can make the next one. But if you only have it once a year, they've got to wait a whole year. Therefore, some of our members could be waiting 3 or 4 years before they could go into communion service. And my friends, that's just plain wrong. Because we need that communion service. We need the strength that it provides us. Because you see, partaking of the Lord's Supper does three things for us. It helps us look back at what Jesus did. It helps us look at the present as what we are and what we're doing, and it turns our minds to the future of what we will be one day. I'm not what I was, but I'm not what I'm going to be. The death of Jesus we record with love and thankfulness. These emblems bring my Lord to view. If we act like the church at Corinth, who was using the bread and wine to satisfy natural hunger and was actually becoming intoxicated, I can't feature such a thing. How in the world could we be bringing our Lord into view? When you put forth your hand and partake of a little piece of bread, and you put it in your mouth, you are to remember that it was His body that was nailed to the tree of the cross for your sins. You should remember that the hammer was in your hand, driving the spikes into Him. And you can hear the hammer as they blows, as they fall upon the stripes. And He opened not His mouth. He didn't complain. He didn't say, "Father, I wish I didn't have to go through this." But the Bible says that He who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. Upon the bloody tree, my soul believes and feels it to be true. Did you know it's one thing to accept something with your mind? And it's another thing to feel it in your hearts. To feel it in the depths of your soul. That my Lord died for me. I'd like to take all these verses and look at them. But I'll move on to the 8th verse. By the way, this is a little side thought here, just in case you haven't already noticed it, that every verse ends, "Jesus died for me." Wonder what the theme of this song is anyway. Angel's voice to bear my heart along. If I could just speak like an angel, my flowing numbers would soon rise to an immortal song. One day it will, friends. One day it will.
Amen.
Let me tell y'all something. I'm going to let y'all in on a little secret just in case y'all don't know this. The resurrection is not going to be a quiet affair.
Amen. Glory to God.
In fact, it may be quite noisy. Because when Jesus speaks with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and He says, "Child, arise and come home. You coming out of the grave."
Amen,
years ago out in Texas, preachers got into, I won't say an argument, I'll say they got into intense fellowship over whether or not there's going to be holes in the ground the resurrection. I have one question. What difference does it make? He's going to burn this up earth anyway. He's going to burn this earth. Well, somebody says, "Now, wait a minute, preacher. He had to have the stone rolled back to call Lazarus out of the grave." No, He didn't. He done that for their benefit, so they could smell death coming out of the grave. Because Jesus brings life out of death, and He brought you out of death one day when He said, "You're mine. You belong to me. I bought you. I paid for you. You're mine." Now what are you going to do? "Oh, that's a nice sermon. Yeah, I'd really like that." You missed it. I'd charm their harps and golden lyres in sweet harmony. I believe this. I believe the song of redemption that we'll sing in glory will put to silence everything else. Because your tongue will be loose as it never has been before. You will sing like you've never sung before. And I'm kind of like the old black man. He said, when I get to heaven, I want to shake hands with Jesus. Yeah. Sit down, rest a spell.
Yeah.
I like the simplicity that he put it.
Yeah,
up in Virginia, we went to a black meeting one time. They called on this brother to pray. He turned around, got in on his knees on the floor and buried his face in his hands in the chair. And he said, Lord, he said, there's some people at the hospital that are hurting this morning. Would you stop by and visit them? He said, there's some people at the funeral home that is hurting this morning. He said, would you stop by and visit them? And then he said, Lord, would you stop by and visit us this morning? Isn't that amazing? You talk about a simple prayer. I'd charm the harps and golden lyres in sweetest harmony to tell all the heavenly choir. Tell them what? That Jesus died for me. I close with this particular thought, my friends. In this assembly right here, in this little assembly, you can do something that the angels that attend the throne of God can't do. You can sing the song of redemption because you have been redeemed. You've been redeemed from the curse of the law. Think about this. Had you not been embraced in the covenants of grace, had you not felt the life-giving voice of the Son of God in being born again, where would you spend eternity had you not been included in that? I don't even want to think about that. But I'll tell you what else I believe, and I will close with this thought. Now, this is mine. You can take it for what it's worth or not worth, and you can take it or leave it with me, and I'll take it back to Fordyce. I believe this. In this life, we will never know to the extent that we would like to know, or maybe we should know, of what it took to redeem us from the fires of hell. But in that day, when He calls His children home, and we stand with Him, and we hear the pronouncement, depart, I never knew you, at that time, we will understand, and we'll praise Him like we've never praised Him before. Let's get a little practice in early.
Amen.
Thank you for visiting Harmony Primitive Baptist Church. This has been Elder Freddie Bowen preaching at our 2012 fall meeting.